Continue with our wheat discussion, move a little farther north, and hear from some more of our friends at Cameron.
Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. I'm Sherry Stridehorst, and I'm going to talk about cultivar-specific management to improve nitrogen yield in wheat seed. And I think with that long, jumbly title, what I'm really trying to say is, do we need to adjust our nitrogen fertilizer rates on a cultivar-by-cultivar basis to gain efficiencies? So the outline of the presentation, I'm going to cover the study objectives, the treatments, the site years. We'll look at findings in terms of percent nitrogen yield and summary next steps, and I'd really appreciate questions and feedback on this. So the study that I'm conducting, it's what I'm presenting is maybe a little different than the original study objectives. The original project objectives were to look at 12 different wheat cultivars and see if they responded differently to multiple agronomic practices. And those multiple agronomic practices were plant growth regulator intended to shorten plants and improve standability, supplemental UAN in crop, agrotain, a urease inhibitor, and foliar fungicides. So we saw large yield and protein differences due to those different agronomic factors. So started looking at the data a little more and then took an approach of how do the different cultivars have different nitrogen yields, and from that, maybe do we need to look at nitrogen fertility cultivar-specific recommendations. Now, I've got a lot of information here, and I don't want to overwhelm anyone. So I've got different classes of wheat in this study. So in the blue here, we have got a Canadian prairie spring wheat, and these are kind of your lower quality but still a food grade wheat, and three cultivars there. I want to just point out, though, I'm going to switch to the laser pen, that we have got cultivars from very different times coming out. We've got Foremost, it came out in 1995, versus Penhold, 2015. So you can see there's 20 years of difference there, but this Foremost cultivar, it's the fourth most popular cultivar grown in the province. So still very important in our production system. Then we've got some special purpose cultivars out of a UK breeding program, very high yielding for something like ethanol or feed production, but low protein. And then in the purple color here, we have our hard red spring wheats or our bread making high quality, high protein wheats, and then a soft white wheat. And I just want to point out that to make this very relevant for producers, the top four ranked cultivars in terms of acreage are included. So Stettler is number one in the province, CDC Go number three, Harvest, and Foremost. So those four cultivars are making up 45% of the acres in the province, so very relevant research in terms of applying it back to the producer. Now, each of those 12 cultivars were grown under standard or advanced management, and what I mean by that is standard management gets nitrogen at the time of seeding and herbicide and nothing else, and then advanced management gets nitrogen at the time of seeding, herbicide, but then we add 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare as UAN just prior to stem elongation at BBCH 29, so in our environment that's about 46 days after planting. We add the plant growth regulator manipulator intended to shorten the crop, and that's at growth stage 30 to 31, so just a couple days after that UAN application. At flag leaf, we apply a full rate of twin line foliar fungicide, and then at fusarium head blight timing when you've got about 50% anthesis procero. So we're doing all or nothing on all of these 12 cultivars. So in terms of the study, it's 3 years of study from 2014 to 2015, and I've got five sites across the province. So this is the province of Alberta, and just to orient you, down here to the south is Montana. Over here would be British Columbia and the Pacific Ocean. So we have here at Lethbridge an irrigated and a dryland site, so we can compare that. We've got a site referred to as the Killam site in east central Alberta, a site just north of Edmonton I refer to as the Bon Accord site, and then in our Peace region, a Falher site. So very good spectrum of different growing environments, different yield potentials, different soil types, and that really plays into a lot of the results that we do see. So because of those different growing environments, we do have different yield potentials in those, and these are the different yield goals that we are targeting in each of those environments, with the Lethbridge irrigated site having the highest yield potential, down to Falher over here on this side of the figure. That's up in the northern part of Alberta, so lower yield potential. So we have adjusted our fertilizer rates to adjust for those growing environment differences. Now, what I'm going to talk about in terms of presenting the results is the percent nitrogen yield. And this is maybe not conventional, so I want to just make sure we're all on the same page in terms of what I'm actually calculating. So the seed nitrogen content was measured by NIR. So just to kind of walk you back in the calculation, if you had 12.4% protein divided by 2.14, so that's the number that goes in there. Our seed yield is averaged over all the sites is 5.6 tons per hectare, and average nitrogen fertilizer was 116 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So what I'm doing is dividing the amount of nitrogen we harvested in the grain by the amount of nitrogen fertilizer that's applied. If we get more nitrogen in that harvested grain, that's coming from soil mineralization, but not necessarily is all that nitrogen coming from the fertilizer. Some of that could possibly be lost, so that's one thing I'm not able to account for. So now I want to look at how that nitrogen yield response varies between sites, cultivars, management, and different cultivars by management. So here I've got a list of the percent nitrogen yield per sites, but just let's go through an example. Lethbridge irrigated in 2014. We put down 146 pounds of nitrogen at the time of seeding. We harvested 166 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So that gives us a nitrogen yield of 114%. Contrast that with our Lethbridge dryland site in 2014. So less nitrogen was applied because lower yield potential, so applied 95 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare and harvested 86 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in the grain, so a 90% nitrogen yield. Now, we did get significant differences by cultivar on a location-by-location basis. We saw that at 8 of 9 site years, we had significant differences between cultivars. With the cultivar AC Harvest, now that's one of those high-quality hard red spring wheats for making bread, had the lowest nitrogen yield in 3 of 9 site years, so average of 93%, whereas Sparrow, that's one of those special-purpose, high-yielding, low-nitrogen cultivars, had the highest nitrogen yield, 124% in 5 of 9 site years. So pretty big differences between cultivars in that example. When we do a combined analysis with the 9 site years of data, just want to compare and contrast those two cultivars. So Sparrow is that special purpose cultivar. Nitrogen yield averaged over all 9 site years of data was 112%. You can see it's very high yielding, 6.54 tons per hectare, and that's across the 9 site years of data. Low protein though, 11.6. Optimum fertilizer rate, I think that's something we do need more work to figure that out. But here's a figure of Sparrow, and this is 65 days after planting, and you can see it is just starting to head out compared to the harvest over here, which is fully headed out. So you can see just looking at the different physiological stage of the crop on the same day when they were seeded on the same day, how different that can be. And we'll compare that with the harvest, our cultivar that is one of the ones for bread making, nitrogen yield of 97%, grain yield of 5.14 tons per hectare, so lower yield offset by a higher protein content. Now, when we do the combined analysis with all the cultivars, we see that there's kind of some breakpoints here. We've got our hard red cultivars kind of breaking out as having lower nitrogen yields, but we do have some hard reds that are, with that same fertility, recovering more of the nitrogen or harvesting more of that nitrogen in the harvested grain. And then we've got two here at the bottom, Sparrow and Penhold, which are extracting large amounts of nitrogen in that grain. So big differences, and it kind of makes you start thinking about things and maybe where we can go to achieve some efficiencies in our systems. Now, I did say that we had standard and advanced management. So just to refresh your memory, standard management got nitrogen at the time of seeding. Advanced management got that nitrogen at the time of seeding, plus an additional 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So across the board, we got consistent differences in the percent nitrogen yield between standard and advanced management. So standard, just nitrogen at the time of seeding, 114% nitrogen yield. When we added the nitrogen at seeding plus the extra UAN in crop, we got a 95% nitrogen yield. So we were getting some diminishing returns. And if we just look at that, that 113 versus 93 on the combined analysis, so the nitrogen applied at seeding ranged from 65 to 146% or kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, depending on the site. We harvested 113 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We add the extra 34 kilograms of nitrogen, and we harvest 124 kilograms of nitrogen. So an extra 11 kilograms of nitrogen was harvested despite the fact that we added 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So we're really seeing those diminishing returns, and it's probably not necessary in our environment to be topping up with that extra nitrogen. Now, let's look, though, at differences between cultivars. So we get a cultivar by management interaction at four of the nine site years. And just on the combined analysis to make it easier to look at the data, that effect was not significant. But you do see magnitude differences between the cultivars. And if we walk through those, the cultivar Foremost, that's that CPS cultivar, the really old one from 1995, standard management 114%, advanced management when we add that extra 34 kilograms of nitrogen drop down to 98%. Contrast that with a hard red cultivar out of a different breeding program, different quality constraints. Our standard management was 104. Really, really didn't need that extra nitrogen because it dropped down to 87%. And then Sparrow, that high yielding, low protein cultivar, we went from 124 to 99. So we do see big magnitude differences between cultivars in terms of their percent nitrogen yield in the grain. So in summary, there certainly are those large differences between cultivars in terms of their nitrogen yield. I think the next step, though, is to do some more intensive studies, looking at cultivars, growing them under multiple nitrogen rates and seeing where they kind of peak and if even if by class we can come up with some better recommendations there. I think this is important work because future generations we're being pressed right now for our social license, enabling them to be able to farm. We need to do work like this today. Just want to acknowledge the funders of this work and the great industry support that I get and the technical support. I ask a lot of people to collect a lot of data, so I want to acknowledge that. And now give you guys a minute or two for questions if we have that. Yes, in the back.
What was the rainfall during the growing season?
The rainfall in the growing season? So at our irrigated sites, we were in the two seasons, we were between 14 to 16 inches of rain in the growing season. At the dryland sites, something like up in the Peace in 2014, we had 4 inches of rain over the growing season. So huge, huge differences in terms of our precipitation over the growing season. Yes. A trend over time with so I'm really excited to see the 2016 data as well because I don't have the nitrogen yields back on that. So maybe next year I can answer that question. Yes. Yeah. No, I have. So the question was, with advanced management, did I look at how much nitrogen remained in the soil after harvest? And that's what I have planned for the next phase of experiments, because really the intent of this project wasn't to look at that. And now looking back, there's a lot of things I wish I had maybe measured. So in the next phase. Again, I measured the above ground biomass, but not the below ground. And so there's certainly lots going on, and I think it's just maybe an area we haven't looked at. So good feedback. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
On one of your conclusion slides, you showed that it was not statistically significant.
For that cultivar by management interaction?
But that was combining all locations.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yep.
So up in the top part of the figure there, the individual locations where we saw the significant cultivar by management interaction are highlighted in yellow. So I am seeing it at some locations. And to pull that, I do need to go back and figure out what's kind of going on, because if it was just at the irrigated site, that would kind of explain a lot. But the Lethbridge dryland site in 2015 there, it got 6 inches of rain over the growing season, so that there's a lot of weird things going on that I need to keep digging through it. Yes. Yes. So disease pressure, we had some sites with excellent disease pressure and some with very little. We did take leaf tissue samples and do have amount of percent leaf infected, and there are big differences between growing environments for sure, but also between cultivars, that some of the newer cultivars, when we look at something like Penhold that came out in 2015, commercially available to growers, had a lot less disease on the leaves than something that was 20-year-old genetic. So we are certainly seeing that. So it's just a big mountain of things kind of on top of each other, and pulling that part is what I'm trying to do here. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the questions.